President Donald Trump's nominee for a federal appeals court covering Wisconsin cleared a key hurdle in the U.S. Senate. It's Friday, October 10th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crowe. Coming up on the show today, Milwaukee County is facing a lawsuit over a provision in the state budget that shifts money out of a school library to pay for more prosecutors there. And lawmakers are debating a Republican package of bills designed to pare down state regulations. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
A Trump nominee for the federal appeals court that covers Wisconsin is on her way to a vote by the full U.S. Senate. That's after her nomination cleared a key committee yesterday. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more on Rebecca Tableson.
Tableson is a Milwaukee prosecutor who previously clerked for Supreme Court Justices Antonin Scalia and Brett Kavanaugh. She was handpicked by President Donald Trump for a seat on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals based in Chicago. But before her confirmation hearing last month, she faced pushback from conservative groups. They pointed to political and religious contributions from Tableson and her husband. Carl Tobias is an expert on the federal judiciary at the University of Richmond School of Law. He says that speaks to a hyper-polarization in the process, even from within the same camps.
You'll agree with her rulings, you know, 90% of the time. What do you want?
Tobias says Tableson is not likely to see many Democratic votes in the Senate, but she is expected to be confirmed. On Even Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee County is not paying into the fund that purchases materials for school libraries. Corrine Hess reports a new lawsuit and a state agency are asking if that's allowed under the state constitution.
A provision in this year's biennial budget allowed Milwaukee County to divert $4.4 million from the Common School Fund to pay for 12 assistant district attorneys. The fund was established in the Wisconsin Constitution in 1848. It's funded by county traffic fines and forfeitures. This week, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed the lawsuit against Milwaukee County. Lauren Gruhl is with Will.
Allowing Milwaukee in this most recent budget to keep 100% of the clear proceeds from motor vehicle fines and forfeitures revenue is blatantly unconstitutional.
The Board of Commissioners of Public Lands oversees the program. They say without adding money to the fund, it will disappear. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Lawmakers are debating a Republican package of bills designed to pare down state regulations. One of the bills would stop a new regulation from being enacted unless an existing rule is repealed to offset estimated cost. Another would cause state regulations to expire after 7 years unless officials take steps to renew them. Supporters say the changes would make it easier to get rid of outdated rules while cutting down on costs for businesses. But at a public hearing, State Senator Chris Larson was among the Democrats who suggested it would be dangerous to allow so many regulations to expire.
I like air and water, specifically breathable air, and I don't know what the price tag is on that.
This summer, the state Supreme Court sided with Democratic Governor Tony Evers in a dispute with the Republican-controlled legislature over rulemaking authority. Authors of the bill package said it may be amended to comply with that ruling. As rising temperatures warm lakes, it turns out anglers have a greater effect on fish populations than global warming. As Danielle Kading reports, that's according to a new study led by the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
The study examined data on trends for more than 500 fish populations in nearly 200 lakes across the Midwest over the past four decades. Researchers analyzed eight species that included warm water fish like bass and cooler cold water fish like cisco and walleye. The study's lead author, Lu Yung Shi, says they ran simulations on what fish populations would look like without warming or fishing.
We found that for the majority of the populations so far, the fishing has far more greater impact than warming on the fish populations.
Around two-thirds of warm water fish saw greater populations with warming. Slightly more than half of cool and cold water fish saw their numbers decline. Researchers say the findings show fish populations can be managed even in the face of climate change. Danielle Kadang, Wisconsin Public Radio.
One big question about Wisconsin's 2026 election was answered this week when Attorney General Josh Call said he's running for re-election. But other big questions still remain. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to discuss.
Anya, when it comes to Josh Call's announcement, that is obviously a big deal in the race for Attorney General, but it caught our attention right away because it means he's not running for governor. Why does that matter?
Yeah, that was one of the big open questions in this race, whether Call was going to run. Because out of all the possible candidates or likely candidates, he has the biggest statewide profile. He's been elected to attorney general twice, so voters are used to seeing his name on their ballots. And he's handled some big cases since 2018 when he first took that office. So him not running for governor now leaves what was already a wide open race even more wide open.
So just to unpack that a little bit more, if we have a crowded Democratic primary, and we might, then having someone who has won statewide already could give him an edge. And we have a recent example of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So listeners may remember that in 2018, there were at one point around a dozen Democrats all looking to unseat Republican Governor Scott Walker. And one of those Democrats had statewide name recognition because he was the state superintendent. That guy's name was Tony Evers, now Governor Tony Evers. He came out 25 points ahead of the second place finisher in that race. So I'm not saying that having that bigger profile is the only way you win in a crowded primary, but it definitely could have given Call an advantage. And so now the field is primarily made up of folks who are going to have to do a lot more work just to make themselves known to voters statewide.
Okay, so Josh Call is running for attorney general. You talked to him about that. What did he say?
Yeah, one of the reasons that folks thought he might run for governor is that he's been part of all of these lawsuits against the Trump administration. That can sometimes be an indication that an attorney general is trying to raise his or her profile. But what Call told me is that he wants to stay in that fight.
My administration is involved in a number of multi-state cases challenging actions of the Trump administration. And I think that what is happening in the courts right now is really critical.
So this also sets up a kind of domino effect. Without Call running for governor, maybe more Democrats will think they have a chance and jump into that race. And with Call now running as an incumbent for what would be his third term, Republicans now need to line up their best challengers for that office.
And when it comes to speculation, Rich, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was asked if he's running for re-election again. What did he say?
He gave some mixed signals. He said he's planning on running but isn't really sure. Voss said he's been in the legislature for a long time and doesn't know how long he'll keep at it. So he's been in the assembly for more than 20 years. It could be that he's seriously considering retirement, but Voss keeps his cards pretty close to the vest.
He represents a pretty Republican district. There's a good chance it stays Republican whether he runs again or not. So why does his decision matter on a larger scale?
Because he's climbed the ranks and has led the assembly since 2013. He's definitely been a foil to Evers for the past 7 years. Some conservatives even referred to him as the shadow governor in a tongue-in-cheek sort of a way. Voss was at odds even with former Republican Governor Scott Walker at times. And he's the longest-serving speaker in state history, so he's left a mark on state government.
And he does more than just run the assembly. He has a big role in other Republican campaigns.
You are correct, sir. Voss runs the Assembly Republicans' campaign apparatus and helped the party keep a 54-45 majority in that chamber, even under new, more competitive maps. 2026 could prove to be challenging for Republicans across the board, and Democrats are gunning for majorities in the state Senate and Assembly. So does Voss stick around to prove that he can hold the majority in a tough cycle? It's anyone's guess. If he does bow out, it will be interesting to see who Assembly Republicans pick to fill those shoes.
That was WPR's Rich Kramer and Donovan Wagtendonk. They spoke with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, a Wisconsin resident who arrived in the state as a refugee remembers his family's journey 50 years ago after the fall of Saigon. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a refugee's journey to Wisconsin.
It was 50 years ago that the city of Saigon was captured by the North Vietnamese, marking the end of the Vietnam War. Just days before, 12-year-old Tan Pham escaped the city, along with his parents and three siblings. Pham shared the story of his family's extraordinary journey to La Crosse with WPR's Ezra Wall.
Toward the end of the war, 1975, my parents' kids, the four of us, were still living with my grandparents. They did not want to be separated from their kids. So from the city, they traveled to my grandparents' house. Remember, it's 150 miles away. So on the way back to their house in the city, he ran into one of his friends who's in the Navy. And that friend of his told my dad, I can get you into a ship right now, but that means that you cannot go home and pack. So instead of going to my parents' house in the city, my dad can see the chaos. So of course, any war, toward the end of the war, there are chaos, people running around. So he decided to let's go onto this Navy ship. And we left the country 3 days before the fall of Saigon.
What was your experience of that wartime?
To give you an example of the daily lives in the village, every night the local militia have to go around the village and set booby traps so that the enemy cannot get into the village. In the morning, their job then is to go and pick up all of those booby traps so that the local villagers can get back out into the field and do their daily work, like raising corn, rice, whatever that they do. Well, once in a while, you would hear a boom. And what does that mean? It means that they forgot one of the traps. So it probably means that someone got killed. When I was living in the village with my grandparents, those are the things that we experience every day.
12 years old, no warning. You don't even get to go home to pack. All of a sudden, you're heading to a new country. Where was the first place you came after you left Vietnam? Did you come right to the States?
No. The naval ship that we were on, that went over to the Philippines. And, of course, the U.S. naval base in Philippines took over the ship. So at that point, everybody on that ship became refugees.
And so eventually you find your way to La Crosse, then grew up here basically after,
yes,
after you were like 13 or 14 years old?
Yes. When we came to the United States, we just have the clothes on our back, right? Because we didn't go home and pack. We didn't have any money. We live in low-income housing for 6 months. My parents knew that we can't live here forever, so both of them went out, get a job, saved enough money to buy the house that they lived for almost 50 years, and then us went to school. So I grew up going to school at St. Pius, Aquinas High School, and then eventually came to UWL, got my degree.
After you left Vietnam, right before the fall of Saigon, how long was it before you were able to travel back to Vietnam?
When we left Vietnam, my dad did not send word back to Vietnam that we're okay. So for a period of 9 years, my grandparents knew that they said goodbye to us, but then why didn't they hear from us for 9 years? They couldn't help but think that maybe a family of six just got wiped out. So 9 years later, my dad sent word back to Vietnam that the family of six, that we're still alive. So I left there in 1975. Went back for the very first time with my mom in 1999. And my grandmother was so happy to see her first grandson, me, walking up the road up to her house, because all along she thought that we were dead.
Tan Pham talked with WPR's Ezra Wall in La Crosse. After retiring from a career in IT, Pham now runs a business called Cuisine Adventure Tours, which plans trips to Vietnam. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And we'll wrap things up with a quick check of your forecast. Some scattered showers in the east to start the day. Things clearing throughout, though, with highs in the 60s and 70s. It'll be a little windy from time to time today. Overnight, it'll be clear with lows down into the 30s and 40s. Highs in the 60s tomorrow, 60s and 70s Sunday, and a slight chance for some rain later on Sunday as well. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.